Hi, Dr. Harding.
Hi.
Hey, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time today, and I'm really excited to discuss this topic with you about creating great health, especially now. With so much going on in our community and an overwhelming amount of information being, promoted everywhere on every channel, you can't help but feel a little bit of data overload, So I think,
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just sometimes just so overwhelming on what to do and, who to believe and, where to start, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring you on because I really respect what you do professionally, and I'd like to introduce you, even though you've been on the podcast before. New viewers may not have met you or heard from you before. So I'd like to introduce you, Dr. Lindsay Harding, a naturopath here in Washington State, and give you the opportunity to share what you do and what you're primarily focused in right now in your practice.
Yeah, thanks so much, Joyce. So we're a primary care facility. We basically offer general internal medicine services, but we do a lot of focus on preventing and managing chronic diseases. So what that often looks like is how to help you live your best life, even though you have some sort of long-term diagnosis. Or on the flip side of that, it's helping you prevent any sort of long-term diagnosis that will impact your quality of life. We're really focused on quality of life versus just longevity of life. I always say there's no point in living long if you're not enjoying it. So we really
Absolutely.
stress that quality so everyone can try to meet whatever their individual goals are. So yeah, that's pretty much what we do. We try to do as much of it as we can without the use of pharmaceuticals, unless that's the person's preferred method. So a lot of it is dietary, how we move our body, how we manage stress, behavioral and communication techniques, all the different things that we do from day to day that have a really big cumulative impact on us, but we often forget about.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my first encounter with a naturopath, and I learned so much about just how my lifestyle and balancing my lifestyle would have such an impact on how I felt every day. And I treasure that experience. It was invaluable. In addition to that, what do you feel are some basic tips that people can do now during this pandemic to just give them more confidence that they can, take better care of their health and prevent, getting sick, having being exposing a potential virus to their family? There's just so much of that information being shared that a lot of people are really concerned and, with good reason to be, but I believe that with good self-care practices and keeping ourselves healthy, we can do a lot. And I know you believe that too. What are some things that you would recommend for people to at least do to feel at ease with their routine, their daily routine?
Yeah, well, the first thing is really learning to be mindful. And what I mean by that is listening to your body. So our body sends us signals when something is going wrong or when something is going right. And we feel that whether we feel a sensation of pleasure or we feel a sensation that we're getting sick or maybe there's pain somewhere, that's a signal from your body that something is not right or that you're doing something good. And so, to just be aware of that on a day-to-day basis, because that will give you a lot of insight into different areas of your day-to-day activities that need to be improved or that you are actually doing really as well as you need to be doing to live the life that you want to live. So, biggest and probably the hardest place for most people to be mindful is with the food that we eat because there's so much emotional connection tied to our food. Eating mindfully, being aware of what you're eating, and really remembering that food is meant to nourish our body and our soul. It's not really there to just soothe our emotions, even though we use it for that purpose. We often don't eat the right foods that are actually going to help our emotional state. So the most important thing is really what we put in our body, because even though everyone's parents probably said it to you when you were 6 or 7 years old, you are what you eat. They were correct. So you can thank your parents for that. We are what we eat. And so eating fruits and vegetables, eating a good amount of fiber every day, eating the things that provide us with vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and things that help get out all the toxic stuff that we're exposed to every day in the water. Even, some of the toxic things are on our food. Just by eating healthy foods, we can help eliminate that. And by doing so, we actually improve the immune system. And so you're doing two benefits at once. First of all, you're feeding your cells the food that it needs to operate better. So you're reducing your risk of disease, but you're also improving your immune system. So you're providing the nutrients needed for your white blood cells to learn how to make antibodies if you do become exposed to anything, or you're helping your immune system fight off something better, even if you've been previously exposed to it. Getting a vaccine is not a it's not a curative thing. It's not a 100%. It is really about prepping your immune system. And there are a lot of ways we can help that work better, and that is by eating healthy.
I agree. With the Halloween being just here and so much sugar, it's like, oh my gosh, just that one substance can really wreak havoc. I know in my system. And I just shudder to think of all the kids that are out there, looking so cute in their little outfits and getting stuff, And there just needs to be so much more information out there about, okay, so this is bad, but what's the other alternative? It's the sweet. One thing I love about Ayurvedic is that, it talks about all the different points of sweet, sour, pungent, So sweet, what can you say about, like, if a person really has a sugar craving and they know they do, but what are some of the other options? Like, choose this if you're having a sugar craving. Or I heard once that if you're having sugar cravings, that could mean that you need more protein. Do you agree with that thought? Or what do you think about that?
Certainly. So at its core, sugar feeds our cells and especially our brain. So our brain only eats sugar. And then our cells, what give us energy, they use sugar as the first source of energy. So if we're not getting enough protein, if we're not eating enough fiber to keep our blood sugar levels balanced, and we're creating highs and lows, our body is constantly going to be craving sugar because it only knows how to get its energy source from sugar instead of how to get it from protein and fat. So we really need a balance of all the macronutrients, which are carbohydrates, protein, and fat. And I always throw fiber in there too, because it is still something we eat in a higher quantity. It technically is a carbohydrate, but most people don't think of fiber when they think of carbohydrates.
True.
So it's really about eating a balanced diet if you're having sugar cravings, because sugar is addictive and it will create a downward spiral. So I did hear a doctor once say that the number one tip that he recommended for everyone was that at the start of every meal, your first bite should be protein or fat. It should absolutely not be a carbohydrate, because if your first bite is a carbohydrate, you are not going to feel satisfied from your meal because you have instantly spiked your blood sugar. And what you
Interesting.
eat afterwards will not actually curve that spike as much. I don't know how true that is, but I can definitely say clinically, every single person I've seen that says that they start their day off with a sugary breakfast or a carbohydrate-filled breakfast, all they do all day is crave sugar. So there's definitely something to that.
I agree. And My system, I don't crave sugar, but as much as I crave salt. And I'm always concerned if I'm taking in so much salt. And now, since they've talked about how you can get, there's microplastics even in sea salt, that just, oh my gosh, it's like, oh no, what do we do for the salt? I do all the, organic Himalayan salts, but I mean, there's concern there, right? Not getting, you have to like really keep it balanced even in that area, even if you're eating the pure stuff, right?
Yes, yeah, there's hidden microplastics in a lot of things, unfortunately. But again, eating healthy is still better than not eating healthy, assuming that, well, I'm just going to ingest toxins anyway if I eat healthy. That's not true. You can counteract a lot of those negative things, even in health foods, by still eating healthy.
Yeah.
Non-organic fruit and vegetables is still 1,000 times better than no fruit or vegetables.
Absolutely. And I've been reading some about herbs, and certain herbs can really be beneficial in cleansing out toxins like cilantro and bitters, certain herbs of that nature. And I'm fascinated with that. In fact, this summer I grew a developed a little herbal garden on my deck. And just,
Awesome.
yeah, it was so fun. I mean, just from the scent alone, and seeing all the various different birds and bees coming around, it's really fun. And it's still living, actually. My deck's doing really good still. But I was,
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
really good. Well, it's kind of shielded, and I get eastern exposure. So a lot of my perennials and my evergreen herbs are doing good. Like my
Nice.
basil died. I mean, basil, but my basil just started to die just 2 weeks ago. So that's been doing really good. My cilantro didn't last long at all, but I love cilantro. What do you know about how does cilantro hold such a big punch of nutrients? Like, it does so many things. I mean, a lot of people see it as just a garnish on the plate, but yeah, that little plant can really do some amazing wonders for your system.
Yeah, all the herbs that are bitter and astringent are really powerful. And part of the reason they're so powerful is that we don't eat bitter and astringent foods very often anymore. And what they do is they help the gallbladder excrete bile and they help the digestive system prep all of the digestive enzymes so that when you actually eat your food, you digest and absorb the nutrients much better. So, if you're eating those spices and those herbs more frequently, you're probably getting more health benefits out of your food or even other supplements that you take because you're likely absorbing them better.
So an example would be, instead of reaching for, when your food tastes plain, instead of reaching for that salt or some other product that may not be organic pure formula, but it just adds flavor. I know that there's some Asian sauces that are so tasty. I love all the hot, spicy stuff. But I've been looking at a lot of the labels, and there's a lot of red dyes in this stuff, and other ingredients in there that isn't just pepper based. And so instead of reaching for something easy, you could learn about some of these benefits from herbs and start playing around with your food with using herbs, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. It's a lot of fun too. It's a lot of fun. And
Yeah.
even if you don't have an active garden, I mean, you can get herbs now at probably any grocery store has them, and more grocery stores are having the organic ones. And yeah, I mean, it's just great to try all the different ones. I couldn't believe how expensive saffron herb is. I
It
was
is
like,
the most expensive herb worldwide
yeah,
because
and
it
it was.
has to be hand-picked.
Ah,
Yeah.
well, it's still in its cute little octagon bottle. I got it at this one store. It was so cute. And it's like, I don't even want to use it because I'm like, God, this little thing was like $11.
I'm just thinking they had to put it in a pretty glass bottle to make you feel less guilty about the cost.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, this time of year, I love spicy foods. I just crave like the Indian spices. In fact, I just went up to this Indian store up in Mill Creek, and oh my gosh, I had to get in and out quick because I could see my bills going sky high if I stayed longer in there, because they had everything. And they also offer it organic now at that store.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I really happy. But anyway, it's fun. It's fun to, try different cultural foods this time of year, because of that flavor. And it's obvious to me that there's a lot of Americans that are just craving it. And I really believe that what we're craving oftentimes is what we need, but then it can be kind of misleading because now tell me if I'm wrong, but I also heard that certain things that you're craving may be a symptom of something underlying that isn't so good. And you have to be really, thoughtful about that. Like you said, mindful about that, and maybe consider that a symptom of something, right?
Absolutely. I think when it comes to you're craving something, so maybe there's something underlying. I see a lot of people kind of talk those cravings up to being some sort of medical condition or nutritional deficiency, when the reality is it's not. You're just either addicted to sugar or dairy
Okay.
or you just have a strong urge for something. I think the most common one I hear about is, oh, well, if you keep craving chocolate, you're deficient in magnesium.
Right. I
The
was just going to ask
reality
you.
is, most people are deficient in magnesium. It's not a very prevalent mineral that we get from our food anymore because it used to be rich in the soil, and our soil is pretty much all depleted. But the reality is, most people that are craving chocolate, they aren't reaching for 90% cacao that's going to be rich in magnesium. They're going for a Hershey's chocolate bar, which is milk chocolate. You're not reaching for these high percentages that are actually going to provide higher amounts of magnesium, which to me, I just see as this is a sugar addiction.
Exactly. Now, with cacao, you mentioned cacao. I know a lot of folks, I've he overheard different comments about, like, what is that? That's weird. It tastes weird. But address cacao because cacao is amazing what it can do.
Yeah, cacao is I mean it's the original source of chocolate. So it's a bean similar to coffee, and cacao is antioxidant. So it's a very powerful antioxidant, and it's also anti-inflammatory. So it can be used to help decrease conditions that promote inflammation in the body. So there's a lot of really good health benefits associated with cacao. It's just a matter of eating cacao instead of chocolate, which
Gotcha.
is made with a lot of buttercream and added sugar. So
Yeah.
that's the main difference between them.
That's true. But and I have noticed that they're starting to use other ingredients like there is this lily, I think it was a lily or I know agave they use. And then there's some other sugar replacing herbal formulas that they're adding to sweets now that are not so spiking of your glycemic. I can't remember the name right at the top of my head. I'm not really into looking for those kinds of alternatives because I'm not a big sugar craver, but I know that they're out there, and it depends on where you shop. Like if you shop at stores like PCC or Sprouts or even grocery outlet I was in the other day, they're starting to have organic food, canned food, and organic fresh produce and really affordable prices. I was really surprised by that. I haven't checked out their wine selection to see if they have what they promote there, but a lot of other canned goods and fresh products. Yeah, they're carrying a lot of organic at half the price, even at Safeway. So
Wow.
yes, I was like shocked at the price difference. Yeah, shocked at the price difference. So check it out, grocery outlet. And if you ever shop at Safeway or some of the other local major stores, you'll see there it's good 20% less than at these traditional larger stores. I don't know how they can afford to do that, but I'm glad they're doing it. Well, there's another thing I wanted to ask you, and I know a lot of folks have brought it up to me at various different situations about, well, they've asked me, well, do you do your own testing, or where do you go to get your testing? And I have seen advertisements online a lot with a lot of self-testing along with getting your genetic testing done. So like 23andMe and Ancestry.com, all those places. But they're now starting to offer tests for determining your vitamin level deficiencies and things. And I find that really curious. I'm curious about it and I'm intrigued because it would be fun to go in and get a test to see specifically, like you're going and taking your car in to check your oil, and you can hook your body up to a computer or cook your car up to a computer and it can assess everything now, right? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could go in and have your doctor kind of like connect you up and determine, oh yeah, you need the whole, this whole profile, you're low in this whole profile, or we need to do something specific in this one area. But in regard to, and I know that's coming, I've heard other doctors talk about how in the future, we'll just need like a drop of your blood and we'll be able to determine, specific dietary plan just for your genetic makeup. And I look so forward to that day. I just think that's so exciting. But in the current day, we've got now these options, like, oh, rather than going to the doctor, just buy these tests online. And from a lay point of view, I consider myself a lay person, even though I'm trained in certain things in nutrition. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing a test on myself. Now, somebody with some medical background or clinical background, they might feel okay about it. But I wanted you to address what you think about some of these outlets that are selling these testing, and not specifically the outlet itself, but just what your idea is about doing self-testing from a source like that in general.
So I think there's really two different standpoints that I have on this. So one is I think it's really great that these companies have made more people aware of the different things that could be going on in their body that a lot of allopathically trained physicians don't really ever think about. So I think it's really empowering for people, and I really like that. The downside is that a lot of it, I feel, is, it's a marketing campaign. It's a business. The reality is a lot of these companies, they're there to make money. So there are a lot of companies out there that are not reliable. Their tests are not accurate. They're kind of all over the place when it comes to result consistency. There are a group of physicians that do actually pay for their own tests with certain companies, and then they send in two copies of their test with, and they make up different names and they see if the results come back the same. Even though
Oh,
it's the same
interesting.
person, the blood was drawn on the same day, or it was a finger prick on the same day, and they get drastically different results. So
Interesting.
the question is then, what companies are reliable? And then the other concern is, if you're spending a fair amount of money, most of these tests cost at least a few hundred dollars. Are you actually testing what you need to be testing based on whatever it is you're concerned about? So oftentimes vitamins and minerals really are intriguing for a lot of people. Everyone wants to know, do I have enough of this? Do I have enough of that for vitamins and minerals? The same goes for hormones. But you need to have, or I'll rephrase that, professionally, in my opinion, the best thing to do is to actually talk to a trained professional and have someone from the outside looking at your case to talk to figure out, well, what kind of testing is actually going to provide us with the answers we need? Because there are some people that can go down, this rabbit hole of tests because it's just one thing after another and nothing is getting you an answer. And when you're looking at spending hundreds of dollars on each test, it adds up very quickly. Then you might find out what you need to do, but you don't have the money to pay for the treatment.
Exactly.
So having an outside party is really helpful. A lot of us can't really look at our own health and accurately determine what's going on. Even medical professionals, myself included in that. I know a lot of people where one thing happens and we start to spiral because we go down this list of everything it could possibly be when the reality is it's the most simple explanation possible. And a lot of people do that, right? You go online, you Google your symptoms, and then what tests do you need to look up? And the reality is every website is going to give different answers. And once you've looked at everything, you're looking at almost every test. So what do you
That
actually spend your money on?
old exactly.
Yeah. So,
You address, excuse me, but I wanted to
yeah.
back up a tiny bit. You mentioned allopathic. Can you explain what you mean? Like, a lot of folks still, think that, well, I'm going to my doctor, my insurance pays for my doctor, and my doctor, well, why wouldn't my doctor check my vitamin D levels, right? Or why
Yeah.
wouldn't my doctor talk to me about nutritional deficiencies? Like, explain a little bit. It's not putting the other practitioners down. It's just different specialties, right?
Yeah, so it's really about how the person is trained.
Thank you.
So every physician has slightly different training. They could have gone to the same school, but depending on where they do their residency and even just what they see throughout their practice is going to change how they practice medicine. So no two people are going to be exactly alike. But allopathic is talking about the Western conventional system where, it's a healthcare professional that basically is diagnosing you based on your symptoms, and then they treat using pharmaceuticals, radiation, and things like surgery. There is not an emphasis on what's now being called functional medicine, which is where we're working to return the body to normal function. And they're not using more natural substances. So things like herbs and nutrition that are going to just act a different way in the body.
Exactly. And it's like, we all have to start with the basics in life, from the early days of learning how to walk. And returning back to these basics of health are so important in everything. The basics of life is so important. Breathing, drinking water, eating real food, valuing our life and
Yeah.
life-sustaining substances.
Yeah, but we often forget, because we're healthy. You and me are we're healthy. When you're in a different state than someone, we forget that there are people that need, something's going on with them. They need surgery right away. They need those pharmaceuticals. Every branch of medicine has a purpose and has good outcomes for different people. It's just finding what is the right solution for you. And so starting with the basics, I would agree with you, is the most important for just about everyone. But there are people where those basics aren't going to do anything to help them at the point that they're at right now. And so they really need that allopathic medicine.
I agree. No, I agree. And I just really look for the future in terms of seeing more information and education starting like in grade school, and I know that there's certain educational programs now that are mindful training. In fact, my neighbor is a mindful training teacher, and she
Oh, that's
from
cool.
It's really a cool system of education. Like she addresses the kids, like, how do you feel today? Did you like what you
Yeah.
learned today? And they have a whole discussion about it. And she promotes this concept of mindfulness, and I love that. I know growing up as a kid, I never heard that. It was you join the clean plate club and eat it. And that's when I learned clever techniques of putting everything in a napkin and going into the bathroom. But,
Yeah.
but anyway, I think everything is evolving. I'm so glad that there's naturopathic physicians in abundance now, more so, way more so than when I was growing up. And it's great because I look at a physician as someone that really provides education in living well. And I think even Hippocrates mentioned that the doctor of the future would educate people. Is it, didn't he have some
Yes.
kind of quote like that?
Yes.
And I love that. I really love that. And we all are really our own self-care educator from a point of view, right? We are living in ourselves. We have to know what we are feeling. We need to get in touch with it, with that mindfulness that you're talking about. And we're all so different. We're all unique. And finding someone that you can really talk to. And I mentioned on the blog how much I really appreciate meeting you because you were so willing to listen to so many questions I had and still do. And, patiently answering them and being very objective. And you don't always find that. And so, I encourage people on the blog to, if you're not feeling listened to, don't just be an obedient patient. We don't have to be an obedient patient. If we don't feel right about something, we should ask the doctor. And if we're not getting the right clarification, then we need to keep pursuing it until we can feel satisfied in what's concerning us as individuals and having that respect. So I really appreciate you and what you do. And I hope more people, if people are listening to this podcast, you can reach Dr. Harding. She does telemedicine. She's wonderful. And she's not paying me to say this either. So,
Well, thank you, Joyce. I appreciate it.
Yes, I really appreciate your time today. And I guess we're now at 32 minutes, and I need to let you go because I know people are probably waiting for you to take care of them. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you so much. You as well. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Yvette, see you soon.
Sounds good. Bye, Joyce.
Bye-bye.